Hey y'all, it's your girl Davida Chanel, and as promised, here I am back with part two of my conversation with Lindsay Beaulieu, executive producer of ABC's 911. This is from a conversation with my series, Black Women Writers at Work, where I host at Soho House. So I'm super excited to get into the latter part of our conversation. Thank you for tuning in.
So you mentioned The Catch, which is from Shonda Land Show, a black woman. You mentioned Luke Cage, a black showrunner. And now...
Black man. That was the first time I'd ever worked with a black man as a showrunner, yes.
And now 911, from the outside looking in, it's seemingly a diverse show. Angela Bassett is the lead.
She's a producer.
So, but in the actual room, are you one of one, the only one?
I mean, technically, yes. There is a Latino, another person of color, but
no more sister.
We did. She's just not with the show anymore. She left last season. Kind of the only one. I mean, that's not unusual, I don't think. But I mean, yeah, it was unusual that there was another one when we had another black female writer that felt. That felt so freeing. Like, it felt so free not to have to be the only black woman anytime, you know. Because, I mean, yeah, when it comes time to write a scene for Angela Bassett, who you think they're asking? You know? Like, so.
Would her hair be like this?
Exactly. They definitely. They want, if somebody want to talk about, you know, Angela's hair or something, it's like they're taking me. You know? It's like, I gotta be the representative. But, It's something to navigate for sure.
Okay, and then because of that, how do you feel a certain responsibility to look out for other black writers?
Yes.
All right, and with that responsibility, but you also have this full-time job. What is it that you can actually do, or how can you support up-and-coming writers?
I think. And this is difficult to do because I don't have a lot of time, but reading material and giving meaningful notes, like helping people really with their, with the craft of it, you know, like it, you never stop learning and you never know everything that there is to know. Like even now when I write something, it is so valuable to get notes and, you know, have someone really tell you what, you know, their honest reaction. So I try to, you know, do that. It's been on my to-do list for a while, but I want to volunteer. There's a group, I can't remember the name, Right Girl? Yes.
I know a little bit about
exactly.
I volunteer with Right Girl, and I'm always bothering my friends who are writers.
I want to volunteer. So I'm going to make that a priority this year. And just encouraging people or other writers to lean into their story. You know, like the thing that is specific to you, because nobody else has that and nobody else can tell that story. So if it comes from there, it's going to be good automatically. You know, like it's, you're already ahead of the game, you know. It's hard with a full-time job, but just being available to give advice or, you know.
And then with that advice, because from the outside looking in, that would sound like, oh, Lindsay said I could send her my script and she's going to...
Yeah, don't ever do that. You're not unsolicited. That's one thing, you know, even when I worked at HBO, I learned that. Like, don't send unsolicited material. And just because people can't read it legally. Because if they send you something that they didn't ask for, and even if they didn't read it, 5 years later, maybe they make something that resembles that. And, you know, it's like that person can say, oh, I sent you something very similar. So for legal reasons, you know, I never read anything unsolicited. But again, that's why genuine, authentic relationships are important with your peers, with people who are doing what you do. Issa Rae says it. It's like so important to build out this way and not just up, like not just getting your boss to like you, but... And it's not about getting somebody to like you, but just, you know, relationships are so important. And just developing authentic relationships. And that means bringing your authentic self to the table. And you have to do that in your writing anyway. I mean, so you just get used to it.
Okay. Yeah. So, with your writing, your own work. So now you're this executive producer. You've had a project that your agent was able to, your manager was able to send out, get you an agent.
Mm-hmm.
What happens now? Do you continue to push your own project in hopes of one day being a showrunner on your own thing?
I think that is the goal. I'm working on something right now that hopefully, you know, I can call my own and take it out on my own. But yeah, I think, and I don't want to be, because there, you know, being a showrunner is a thankless, really difficult job, and the skills to be successful are the exact opposite, I think, of the skills that a writer naturally has. You know, like, you're not just writing when you're a showrunner. You have to handle the budget. You know, like, all of a sudden you're running a multi-million-dollar company when you sell a show. So, and networks and studios have different models of how they do it. And David Simon, HBO, that was a great model because David is truly a writer. You know, like, he can't balance no budget sheets and, you know, procrastinates. Like, he can't do that. But they paired him with someone like a UPM sort of, you know, producer type, a non-writing executive producer who could just keep everything together. And that's a great dynamic because it allowed him to be the writer while she, you know, could keep production abreast of everything. Because production is sort of like a different animal. And I liken it to when I waited tables. You know, you have the front of the house and the back of the house. Back of the house is real different from the front of the house. And so production is the same way. Production is basically the back of the house. So you got to know how to, like, go from one to the other, and, you know, and they're helping you. They're helping you make your show, so you got to help them get scripts in on time and all that kind of stuff. But so much of that has nothing to do with sitting down and thinking about a character or what you want to happen. It's like, you know, it's a business. So for me, next, I'm really focusing on learning the business of that because I'm really excited about this creative idea I have, and if all goes well, I will get to make this creative idea, but I have to have a better understanding of the business. And in fact, I just got into, I'm very excited about this.
Do tell, do tell.
The showrunners training program for the that the WGA does. So I'm super excited, cannot wait. But that's gonna be my opportunity to learn all the stuff that I don't know, the business side of running a show. Because you do, you know, very little writing, and that's why it's important to hire the best people. You know, you have to, I feel like you have to hire people who are smarter than you. That's what they're there for, you know, to tell you what to do and how to, you know, because otherwise, yeah, it's, what help is that? If they're, you know, so I'm all about, you know, hiring people who are smarter than you and, you know, and people who, you know what your superpower is. I'm on a procedural, 911 is a heavy procedural, but cases and stuff like that, not my superpower. So aside from the Angela Bassett scenes, they always come to me for, like, all the emotional stuff and character stuff. I think all that's important. Everybody, a room, you can really see that. Everybody has different strengths. And a smart showrunner will use all of that and get the best out of everybody.
I think that's an important thing too. Talk about, like, playing your role in the room. So if they come to you for these emotional, heavy hitting scenes,
mm-hmm.
suppose you have this idea and in your heart, your gut instinct is this is the right idea, but the showrunner disagrees. How hard do you push back? Do you push back?
Definitely push back. You all, because that's also what you're there for as a writer, is to give your view of things, even if it's a view different from your showrunner. If your showrunner is a smart, secure person, they want that because it's going to make the material that much more dynamic and good. And it'll make everything true. Like, the best things to write is an argument or a scene where people have differing opinions, but they're both right. You know? I love those, just are the best to write. But, I mean, what were you asking?
How much to push back, but I think
you should push back. You definitely push back.
Yeah,
definitely push back. I mean, you gotta know how to read the room and not push too much, but yeah, definitely push back. Even as an assistant, even if you're not a paid writer at the table, you know, there were many times as the writer's assistant, I was the only black person in the room, the only woman in the room. And it's like, if I didn't say anything, nobody was going to say anything. So even as an assistant, you know, you speak up and yeah, they'll take it or leave it. You know, it's not, ultimately it's not up to you, but you know that you've done your part, that you've said something. But ultimately, yes, your job is to give the showrunner what they want. So once you've had that discussion, you've brought up your concerns or you pointed some things out, the showrunner may agree on certain things and say, okay, I see how you see it this way, like, or let's just find a different way. Let's do something different altogether that's even better. But yeah, you definitely have to push back.
Okay. And you work on network TV. As we alluded to, your show was super successful on one network, and now you're moving to a new network.
Yes.
Do you feel a different vibe at ABC, as much as you can tell without, you know, getting into the nitty gritty of the things?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a different vibe. But it's been nice to, you know, have a new home at ABC, and, you know, people are excited about it. So we'll see what happens. But I think the nice thing, or the optimistic thought, is, you know, ABC didn't bring us there for just one season.
Right.
So hopefully, you know, this can grow and it could be the next Grey's Anatomy doing 20. I don't know if I'll be there, but, you know. We'll see what happens.
Well, speaking on that, and then I'll open up for questions. Because of ABC, mm-hmm. we're talking about a 20-episode season, if it's a normal season.
18 but now.
18, yeah. Because post-strike. Mm-hmm. But juxtaposed to your streamers and your sexy HBO and those networks where it's only 10 episodes a right. season. So as a writer, you get paid per episode. As these network shows continue to go away, mm-hmm. I feel like you're in such a unique position
yeah.
because you have been at the sexy mm-hmm. universes out there. What do you feel, or do you feel, that the network standard is dying? Is it going away? Or do you feel like it's making some sort of resurgence? Mm-hmm.
I definitely think it's dying and going away. Like, I don't know. I think it's definitely dying. But I think that's really unfortunate because, yes, there are amazing shows on Apple TV and HBO Max, and, you know, I binge all that stuff too. But as a writer, and I think about myself as a little kid when I was watching TV, you want to reach as many people as possible, you know, and it's like, it wasn't until, which show? Probably 9-1-1, when I could tell people I worked on a show that, like, that people actually watched. You know, it feels, you know, when you're working on those sexy shows, sometimes, you know, it's all a trade-off. Your craft might get stronger, you'll, you know, sharpen certain strengths, but there is something to be said about, you know, cutting your teeth on a network show, about, you know, that's where really where you learn production, and as a writer, you learn how to support production with, you know, turn things in on time or changing a location. Like, you might be really set on having this scene be night exterior rain, but the cast is like, no, you know, so you just have to be adaptable. And it's such a team effort, you know, in television, you really cannot, I don't think, have an ego. It's just so, such a group effort. And I feel like it works the best when, you know, people really lean on each other and go to each other for, like, for their expertise. TV is hard, and it takes a lot of people to do it. But most people are, like, experts in what they're doing. So
it's so funny you say that, because here in L.A., when you have these conversations of what you're watching, it's all the sexy stuff. But when I go home, I'm like, yeah, what about, did you see this one? It won all these awards. They're like, no. What channel is that? I don't have that. How do you get that?
No.
It's like, no.
Oh, my goodness. This conversation was so inspiring. Such a peek behind the curtain of what is, you know, television writing. I am so appreciative to Lindsay for lending her time, for sharing her experiences. I'm extremely excited for what's going on 9-1-1. Have you all been watching, getting next to it? It's on ABC Thursday nights right before Grey's. And if not, you could catch it on Hulu the next day streaming. I am so excited to just, you know, continue a creative process. Again, this conversation was so inspiring, and I hope it gave you some inspiration. And for all those aspiring TV writers out there, hopefully you have a little bit more information that can help on your journey. Once again, it is your girl, Davida Chanel, and we just got all up in it.